is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, and I welcome Gary Epstein, China Affairs Editor for The Economist magazine, looking very quickly at the breaking news about China and the U.S., and then backing up and looking at the larger story about the U.S. developing policy to deal with a China that is at once not trustworthy and too profound to the success of the planet's economy over this next century. Gary, a very good day to you. I go to NBC reporting. Hackers working for Chinese intelligence played a role in using ransomware to extort U.S. businesses, according to the White House. The announcement was part of a broader effort by the U.S. and a large group of allies, including the European Union, NATO, the U.K., Australia, and Japan, to condemn China's government for malicious cyber activity, quote. The official who made this remark asked not to be identified. I start here because ransomware has been much in the news recently about Russia, about Russian links to gangs, to bad actors that are not the state. But in this instance, the state, China, and thievery are conjoined. This looks to me to be a sudden development, or, as the joke goes, how did it happen gradually and then suddenly? However, your measure of the U.S. policy, developing U.S. policy for China, is it contradicted? Is it troubled? Or is it helped by this sudden linkage of thievery with China? Good day to you.
Good day to you, John. Well, I would say it really ties in with the emerging Biden-Drock doctrine, the Biden's China strategy, which, you know, under predecessors to Donald Trump was for a long time a policy of engagement of some form, sometimes with distrust, but generally a friendly relationship, rocky times over the years. But there was a faith in engaging with China and that China would sort of kind of go in line more with the rules-based global order over time. That era is over. Trump started it, although Trump personally himself wasn't invested in it, because, of course, we know he wasn't too opposed to the idea of authoritarianism around the world personally. Joe Biden believes in the project of democracies versus autocracies. He's actually framed it that way, that is the contest that the world is in and that the U.S. is at the forefront of. On the side of democracies. And he wants to work with allies and partners to try and counter China's influence around the world and China's activities around the world. So this ties into that because a big part of yesterday's announcement, sorry, a big part of Monday's announcement was that these allies, really for the first time, NATO for the first time, calling out China's hacking, cyber hacking, not just this ransomware attack, but more significantly, although, you know, the ransomware attack is very novel, more significantly, the March hack of the Microsoft Exchange server and thus tens of thousands of networks around the world. And that's a pretty serious accusation to level at China. It was already attributed to China, you know, in the private sector. But now it's officially being done by America and by other governments, and China's not happy about it.
So what we have here with the announcement of ransomware is icing on the icing. So let us explore the large story about what is to be done. You recommend, the Economist recommends, that the Biden administration not pursue the Pearl Harbor metaphor when talking to the American people about China. How so, Gaddy? What does that mean?
That's our Economist editorial line, which warns against painting the relationship as a us versus them, zero-sum game struggle where only one can win. And the view of the editorial of, you know, of our leader line is that the world, there's too much at stake in the world for that to be the choice, just either the U.S. or China, especially with climate change, for instance, especially with nuclear security. The response from folks in the Biden administration would be that China will cooperate on these really major transnational challenges on its own terms, no matter what, and that it's necessary to confront China when it's conducting malign activities like this hacking. The problem that the editorial has, that the Economist editorial line has with this, is a lot of countries aren't going to want to choose between China and the U.S. They don't want to be forced into an us versus them zero-sum game sort of struggle, a Manichaean struggle. And so they're not going to choose. Some of them are not going to choose, especially if the rhetoric becomes extremely strident.
Yes, our allies, Europe, but I want to use an example I came across within these last days. The newly elected president of Peru, Pedro Castillo, a man who's identified with populism, with a peasant presentation in a country that has been very badly hit by the pandemic, is reaching out to China. And in conversations with colleagues, I was reminded, this doesn't mean he's crossed the red line. This doesn't mean he's in the China camp. It means he's pragmatic about doing business with China. Now, Peru is not a major player for either Europe or the United States, but I think that illustrates the dilemma that our allies and even our adversaries have. You must deal with China. I think the way to put it, the way the Economist put it, is in Southeast Asia, they look to a China for prosperity and they look to the U.S. for security. Is that mix correct? And is that something the Biden administration will talk about?
Absolutely. I mean, the Biden administration, if you talk to people in the Biden administration, they know they have to have something to offer what I call these middle countries, not Europe and the major powers, but especially these countries that are sort of caught between China and the U.S., especially economically. And if there's a striking chart that goes with my story in this week's issue, which is the reversal of the trade balance around the world with the U.S. and China. 20 years ago, the vast majority of countries had more goods trade with the U.S. Now that's flipped, and the vast majority of countries have more goods trade with China. That just tells you a lot of what you need to know. A lot of these countries need to rely on China economically, and so they're going to find it difficult to confront China too dramatically.
The Biden administration so far, if I follow your reporting correctly, is responding to China's adversarial relationship by having China light, a plan 2025 light, which is to bring everything home, especially in the critical industries of semiconductors and big pharma and a rare earth. Is that, if I read correctly, this is not going to be going to result in success in confronting China because it doesn't help our allies or our, the in-between countries. Is the Biden administration looking to sell to the American people that producing everything here at home is an answer to China?
Well, not precisely. There's a little bit of that going on. There's a couple things here going on. One is, as there is sort of this Buy American strategy from Joe Biden, and then the Invest in America strategy, and an industrial policy to support the semiconductor industry here, for instance. Some of those other things you named are things that allies are interested in as well, which is about the supply chain dominance by China of certain products or resources. So that includes rare earth elements. That includes pharmaceuticals and the ingredients for drugs. China's dominant in those areas. And the goal of the U.S. strategy on supply chains is to work with allies to try and secure alternative supply chains. It doesn't have to be in the U.S., but they want it to not be China that they're reliant on.
What is to be done? I want to start by asking what is to be done about the present presentation by the administration. Is the Biden administration committed to the idea that if we make it at home, it in some way answers China's aggression? Or is this in flux now, Gaddy? Is there a debate going on? Can we tell?
They are committed to this idea. It's actually outlined in a very interesting book, new book out, by someone who happens to be now on the National Security Council under Biden, a guy named Rush Doshi, who used to be at Brookings. He wrote a book called The Long Game about China's strategy. But in it, he also talks about how America should respond to China's rise. And he had two parts to his formula. One is a lot of what we've just been talking about, which is called blunting China's ambitions. But the other part, which is what we're talking about right now, is building. And the idea is, and this is how people in the Biden administration would put it, that America is at a place where after kind of decades of going off course with the Iraq war, with Trump, with the last 4 years of Trump, it's in a weak position and it cannot deal with China from a position of weakness. So they believe wholeheartedly that they need to make America stronger, strengthen American democracy, strengthen American infrastructure. Obviously, a lot of this coincides very nicely with Biden's campaign pledges and his hopes to boost infrastructure spending domestically. But there's also a sincerity to it as well. So it kind of is both politics and I think a sincere desire to be stronger, to deal with China from a position of strength. Now, you're right. I mean, it's very interesting what, how Republicans will respond. So far, it doesn't look good. It doesn't appear that Republicans, even the most hawkish Republicans in Congress, China hawks, are going to go along with any sort of Biden plan just because it might coincide and help Biden's China strategy or America's China strategy. So that's a big obstacle to overcome.
Yes, well, it's the nature of that partisan divide in Congress. There are problems, and you've identified three of them. I'm speaking to Gary Epstein, the China Affairs editor and correspondent for The Economist magazine, and we're looking at the China policy in development in the Biden administration right now in the heat of conflict because of the reports of ransomware in addition to the usual cyber spying and cyber bad acting by Chinese authorities. I remind everyone that four people, Chinese nationals, have been indicted, three of them intelligence officers. So this is national security matter. But when we come back, what are the problems with the developing China policy by the Biden administration? This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.